This morning, I have an encouraging word. It's called a season of peace on all sides. I believe the next 7 years are going to reveal a reversal in favor of the remnant of God. I'm not talking to everybody today. I'm talking to men, women, boys, and girls who have been serving the Lord when it's wintertime, springtime, summertime, fall, whatever season we know we're going to find you serving the Lord, falling forward. If you have to fall, fall forward. I'm 6'3" further ahead every time I fall. I'm going to fall forward. You know, if you can't run forward, you walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, just look forward. But, you know, when the remnant, the faithful remnant of God have been serving the Lord, you know, you can just, anything becomes rote memory after a while, even serving the Lord. Becomes like, you know, praise you, Lord, la, 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 la. You know, and it's like you're just, you get, and even when you know God, you can be without a felt sense of his presence for a season. But I want to read you a verse. Let this go into your heart. 2 Samuel 7, verse 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. There was a time in King David's life where God just said, you're entering a season of peace where there's going to be peace on the east side, the west side, the north side, and the south side. Didn't say there's going to be $1 million on the east side. It said there's going to be peace and there's going to be rest. Not the constant conflict, east, west, north, south. The one thing you're sure of is there's always a battle and there's always an enemy. But loved one, God does bring us, after serving him forever, a season of rest. On all sides. I don't know what you're going through right now, but listen to 1 Kings 5:4 about another king. It says, but now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. 1 Chronicles 22:18, is not the Lord your God with you, and hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord. And before his people. Do you get the image? I believe we're coming into a season where there's going to be rest in the land. David was a man of war, but God told him, you're going to have a little boy named Solomon, and he's going to be a man of peace, and in his reign there will be peace on the east, west, north, south. That may sound too good to be true. That may, and boy, I'll tell you, to back it up, I've gone to the book of Ezekiel. You know I'm serious about this. I'm going to give you some of the funkiest imagery you're going to ever hear probably this month, and you're going to have to bear with me because there's some strange little twists and turns in the story. But how can we prepare our hearts to even believe that maybe we're coming into a year, a set of, I believe about 7 to 10 years, of favor upon the faithful of God, the remnant of God. Not for everybody. You know what I mean? If you don't know God from a stool and you're not interested in anything but your own way, then this doesn't apply to you. But I'm talking to people that have been serving for so long and have been battling east, west, north, and south in some way. Now, it's always going to be a battle, but I want to go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39. And Ezekiel was an interesting prophet, but he lived way back in history during a very difficult season for the people of God. And I'm going to sort of extract some principles from his book. It's a very interesting book. It's a very prophetic book. It's hard to understand. But in chapter 39 of Ezekiel, I've extracted three principles that I want to share with you that I think are going to be involved as you enter into a season where God is bringing more ease and peace and rest east, west, north, and south. I don't know what side of your life you've got a battle on, but you've got a battle. And when we turn to Ezekiel chapter 39, this is a time in the history of Israel, and it's presented, it could be a future battle, but it's presented as a present tense reality. And let me just give you the basics. The children of Israel have been in exile because of their sin. They've been brought back into the land, and they're just settling down, and all of a sudden, a huge army, just like the clouds that would cover the land, comes upon them from the north. We don't know if it was the Syrians. We don't know exactly who it was, but one day they wake up, and there are hordes of locust-like enemies just all over the place. Maybe you woke up last Tuesday and you said, that's my life, Craig. I woke up and there was 5,000 locusts at the door, bill collectors and everything else. But Israel, they were dwelling in their houses. They hadn't even yet gotten their strength back. And the enemy launched an attack. There's always going to be an attack of the enemy in your life. But I want to show you what God does. In Ezekiel chapter 39, the enemy swarms against the people of God. They're just locked up in their houses. They don't even have weapons. They have no hope. But God supernaturally drives the enemy out. The Syrians, whoever they were smitten by God. They were driven out of the land. And as they were running out of the land, tens of thousands of enemies are dropping their weapons with their spears and their swords and their armor and their baggage trains. And I mean, they're just leaving everything. And so that in the book of Ezekiel, we come to the place where God says, come out of your houses. You know, sometimes we've been locked up in a defensive position. You ever heard about shields? You know, there's a big shield the Romans used to stand behind to guard them from the arrows. Then they had a buckler, which was a little round shield on the arm that you could just sort of divert blows with. But those are defensive weapons. You know, you're not supposed to live behind a shield forever. You have to advance. You know what I mean? Thank God for shields, but you don't live behind them. You know, the Romans used to have the turtle where they would lock all the shields and they rapidly move forward. They don't just stand still for 9 years and just take it. You know, they take the volleys of arrows and then they move forward because they know when they can get those offensive weapons out and get close enough to those archers, they're toast. But sometimes we get locked up, we get in a constricted place, and that's where the people are. Children of Israel in their houses going, oh my God, there's 100,000 people out there. And God, in one moment, wipes them out. But as they're running away, all you could see is shirt tails and weapons dropping. Can you imagine how many weapons 100,000 men can drop running away? You got spears and bows and arrows and tents and baggage and everything you can imagine. Well, God says in Ezekiel 39, 9 and 10, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall have no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord. Let me give you the picture. The enemy's gone. They're all dead and rotting. The children of Israel come out of their little houses because they've been locked in there in fear. Ever been locked in a little constricted place with fear? God's saying to his children, come on out, come on out, come on out. It's a season to come outside in the street. What did they see? All the dead enemy and all their weaponry. And God said, there are so many weapons of the enemy out here that you don't have to cut your trees down for fire for 7 years. Can you imagine that? Bows, arrows, everything, spears, javelins, shields, bucklers, helmets. Can you imagine the children of Israel come out and God says, I've given you so many combustible weapons of the enemy out here. I want you to collect them all and it's going to give you 7 years of fire. Oh, Lord. And God wanted the victory to be so complete. He said, now, isn't this interesting? Why wouldn't you collect all the weapons and put them in your armory? You know, wouldn't the practical people would say, come on now, let's use our common sense. Don't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Gather them all up, sell them on eBay. You know what I mean? Something. Let's take advantage. And God said, no, I don't want you to put the defensive weapons in the armory because I am your defense. I'm going to let you burn those weapons. There's a culinary association. Every time you eat a meal, you're going to cook that meal with a spear or a javelin, or you move over, honey. Mommy has to put a helmet in the fireplace. You know, 7 years stockpiled weapons of the enemy. Did you know even the weapons the enemy has brought against you, God will use to produce warmth, comfort, security, and blessing that will feed you? I know it's crazy. Crush the olive, get the oil. Crush the grape, get the wine. Crush the cloud, get the rain. Even the weapons the enemy has been successful in terrifying you with. God said, don't worry, don't worry. They're real. They've been formed, but I wiped the army out and I'm going to have you glean comfort, warmth, and blessing. You know, you think in your past and the memories that you have and the experiences you've had of how the weapons of the enemy have damaged you. God says, don't worry. You're going to be burning those things for 7 years. Can you imagine? It wasn't one big bonfire. You know, like, woo, you know, it's collect them all. It took a while, you know, walk all over the land. It took a while to collect all the enemy's weapons against you. And you know, when you're out picking them up, you can remember a lot. You know, there's that spear that speared me through and that relationship broke up. And there's that helmet used to butt me in the head. And there's the, you know, there's a lot to learn when you're collecting all of the weapons that have been formed against you. But they were combustible. And God says, listen, I'm going to give you 7 years of fire. You don't need to go to the field. Can you imagine? You can let the cedars of Lebanon rest. They were happy. Thank God. 7 years that all the trees get to grow without being cut down. He says, you're not even going to have to use your own strength to go out and do what you normally do to be responsible in order to be able to heat food up for your babies, because all the weapons are going to take 7 years to burn them. So, you know, it took a while to collect them, and it took 7 full years to burn them all up. But, you know, God wanted them to savor this victory. I believe the Lord wants you to savor the hope that there can be peace on the east, west, north, and south. 2 Samuel 7:1. You can almost see David on his throne after all his warfare going, oh, finally. You know, you know when you just go, oh, I bought a little keychain that says, breathe. Yeah, it's helpful sometimes. You're fighting on the east and the west, and you're just getting in your house, and there's still the south wall is knocked down. And you know, but you know, you have to just breathe. And David, you can just see, and he was just so happy. It's right after that verse that says he was in his house and looked and said, I want to build a temple for the Lord. You know what? God wants us to receive enough rest on the east, west, north, and south for a season with peace. I'm not promising you a jet airplane or $1 billion dropped down from heaven or anything. There's always going to be trouble. But, you know, there can be peace in the midst of trouble. There can be rest in the midst of it's all right. Don't worry about it. Any weapon formed against me is going to be, I'm going to put it in the fireplace. Kids, I'm getting hungry. Let's burn another spear. Daddy, can I put the helmet in the fire? Sure, honey. God wanted them to savor this victory. For at least 7 years, they remembered every time they had a hamburger. Daddy, what's that? Well, those weapons are the weapons that were formed against us to destroy us, but our God has given us peace on the east, west, north, and south. Amen. Throw another helmet in the fireplace. But do you notice, isn't it something when God tells you to burn stuff sometimes? What he tells you to burn? Now, my logical mind said, collect all of those weapons and sell them to another nation. You know what I mean? Let's make some money out of this. God says, burn them. I'm your defense. They're all defensive weapons. Burn them. I want you to remember who delivered you. You didn't deliver you from the enemy. Every meal you have, thank you, God. You know what? Every time you have lunch, you can say, thank you, Jesus. And imagine it being heated up by the enemy's weapons that you're burning. I believe there's a blessing ahead. And when I talk about prosperity, to me, it means wholeness and rest and a little bit of, oh, praise God. You know, whenever I have a meal, my great-great-uncle Rex, he died in World War I, threw himself on a grenade, saved all of his men. But he's famous in the Johnson household for this phrase. After a good meal, he would say, I am sufficiently sponsified. Isn't that wonderful? It just covers everything. I'm sufficiently sponsified. That's what he would say. So, you know, when you just have a meal and it's just right and you push yourself away from the table and you go, now you can say, I'm sufficiently sophonsified. And then you want to talk and you want to just sort of, there's joy and but the Bible says, woe unto a fool whose belly is full. Because he's going to start talking. You know, I'm talking now about you remnant folk, that it's all right to dream of the fact that there might be a season of rest where you can just kindle the fire of comfort, security, and blessing. Because that's what God did. Now, can you imagine the people at the time of Ezekiel? They're locked in their houses in terror. God says, come out. They finally stick their head out. And what do they see? The entire army is dead. Nasty sight. All the weapons are there. And God says, pick them all up and burn them. Now, here's the second point. This is 7 years of fuel, food, warmth, comfort, peace, safety, celebration, every defensive weapon destroy. And by the way, when God says, burn it, whatever it is. You know, burn it. But I thought, yeah, well, you know what? He is your defense. You shall not be moved. He is your defense. He is your deliverer. He fights your battles for you. He's the one that gets all the glory, you know. I often think of that donkey Jesus rode in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem the last week of his life, you know, and they're throwing palm branches. That donkey could have thought, I'm some donkey. I'm who? Well, I guess I'm the anointed donkey. You know what? It's who's riding you. It's Jesus. It gets the glory. You know, I don't think any of us donkeys are dumb enough here anymore to take a little glory, just a little. Let me step in and just get a little bit of it. No, it's all his. All the praise. So I want you to look at the weapons that have wounded you in the past. It could have been unfaithfulness. It could have been cruelty. It could have been loss. It could have been death. Whatever the weapons are, cook your food with them. For an extended period, God wanted them to savor the victory. And I believe we're coming into a season where there's going to be enough peace on the east, west, north, and south that we're going to be able to rest, breathe, and luxuriate a little bit. There's nothing like praising God with God's people. I love to get together and fellowship with God's people, whether on the phone or lunch or dinner. You know, we're just feasting on the things of God, you know. Everybody else listens in a little bit. Every time David and I have a lunch somewhere, you know, we're always talking and there's always somebody listening. It's just amazing. There's a kind of stability and comfort and calm and safety that the Lord wants to bring to his remnant people. It's good to be crazy and yell and jump up and down. I was at a concert last week. I'd jump up and down, scream, yell, and do flips. That's wonderful. But you know, there's just something about having a little rest on the east, west, north, and south. But so he tells them, first, burn all the weapons of the enemy. Then the second thing that happens, what about all the dead people? That's a lot of dead, corrupting, stinking. This is why I'm saying some of these images of Ezekiel are brutal, but you know what? Life is brutal. We live in the top 2% of the wealth of the world. People aren't doing as well as you everywhere in the world right now. It's brutal. Life is short and brutish and sometimes disgusting. And this imagery is disgusting. The entire army that came against the people of God is lying dead all over. So God says, I'm going to give you 7 years of fuel if you will burn the weapons of the enemy and you'll have peace on all four sides. But secondly, I want you to do something. All unclean bones buried will bring peace on all sides. For 7 months, listen to Ezekiel 39, 12, and 16. In 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown that day, that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God, and they shall sever out men of continual employment passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when any sees a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamongog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. What's this saying? There's a lot of dead folks laying out there. To the Jewish sensibility, you are not supposed to touch dead things. Do you remember when Jesus talked about the Pharisees being whitewashed tombs, the leaders of his day? He said, you're whitewashed tombs. What does that mean? Well, you were not supposed to go near a dead body. If you, as a Jew, touched a dead body, you were ceremoniously defiled. So whenever someone, let's say, would find a grave where there were bones, they would whitewash the tomb in the area like a monument for you to avoid. You know what I mean? Because what if you're a priest trying to go to the temple to officiate and you step on a dead bone? You were unclean. And this is an imagery of uncleanness. You know, all these bodies, God says, number one, you got to bury them all. But there were so many of them that God said, you know, there's so many dead bones here. You know, think of how many bones are in your body. Multiply that by maybe 50, 60,000 people. And it's a horrible image, but God sent them out and said, I want you to get every unclean bone, any human bone anywhere, and I want you to hire some people. Look at this, two classes of people, the bone finders, that were supposed to go out continually. I mean, they walked all over the land, every inch of the land, you know, like you're doing some kind of an archaeological landscape. And when they found a bone, they would put up a little white stone or monument by it so that the buriers would follow them and bury the thing. You say, well, that sounds crazy. Yeah, imagine the land full of markers. So there were guys that it was their job. You know, here's my card. He was a bone finder. That's all he did. Because there were so many dead enemy that they were spread all across the mountains of Israel. And so the normal folks said, we're done with this. You know, most saints are good for about two days of bone finding. And then they give it over to the preachers, you know, the professionals, you know. Leave it to someone who knows how to pick up a bone. Go back into the house and burn the weapons. Cook some dinner. So these professional bone hunters are going around looking for human bones because they were unclean in the symbol of something that was unclean that would defile the land. God said, burn all the enemy's weapons. I want every vestige of him gone, and I want you to send out the bone finders. You know, sometimes we just got to look around for bones. We've all got skeletons in our closet somewhere. But, you know, it's a symbol of whatever it is that's defiling the land. God said, I just want you to just find it. Just find it and put up a white marker by it. You just find it and mark it. You don't have to, you can't die for your own sins. You can't forgive yourself. Christ is your Savior. It's his faithfulness and his blood that will cleanse of all uncleanness. But do find it, label it, and stick a little monument by it. That tells the buriers not to come step on it, but they're going to bury it. So you can imagine for an extended period, for 7 whole months, you got bone collectors that are out looking for the unclean things. And did you know we can give every unclean thing is in our hearts, in our minds, surrounding our lives, and just mark it. You know, I tell people you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from nesting in your hair. Just mark it. If there's some area you're getting tempted in, you don't need to get all crazy, you know, and do backflips. And God knows everything. Calm down. Maybe he doesn't see in the shower. God sees everything all the time, and he's your best friend. So just mark the thing. Just put, there's an unclean thing here, and I want the barriers to come get it. Jesus is our barrier. He comes around and says, give me those unclean bones. I'm not defiled. Let me pick them up. You know, he's so pure, he can pick up any defiling thing, and he buries it. And God demanded the people after burning the enemy's weapons to go find all any unclean little bones and just mark them. And Jesus will come behind and say, I've got that. I've got your back. I've got your back. 7 years of fuel. They didn't have to go to the forest and touch their own resources. There's a blessing coming on all four sides. 7 months. Look at that number 7, the number of perfection and completion. God's bringing us full circle. Have you noticed in your life you're coming full circle? In a situation or people you haven't seen in a long time or resolving issues? That number 7 is just sort of a perfect round number of completion. God knows how to complete your handling of the weapons of the enemy. He knows how to complete any unclean thing that is around you, defiling you, that might keep you from peace in the east, west, north, and south. Just mark it. He'll bury it. Amen. It's quiet in here. I know you're just so enamored and enthralled by my oration. There's a third point. And it's sort of chronologically out of order. So they were told to burn the weapons, and they're told to pick up all the bones and bury the bodies. But the third thing is sort of nasty. It sort of preceded them finding the bones. Do you know when there's a lot of death and there's a lot of corruption? Boy, you get spirit out of a body, that thing starts stinking real quick. And it's somehow something alive that gets dead. Just, whew, it's nasty. Well, there was a stench. As soon as God wiped out the enemy, it was only moments before all the beasts of the field descended upon them. So there's a little chronological out of order thing, because before you can find bones to bury, all the beasts of the field had a feast. Now, this is the for those of you that are in surgical areas, it's fine. But Ezekiel 39:17-22 said, and thou, son of man, Thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I sacrifice for you. Even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood, that you should eat of the flesh of the mighty, drink of the blood of the princes of the earth, of the rams and the lambs and the goats and the bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. That means God says, I'm going to let you eat leaders. And ye shall eat fat until you be full, and drink blood till you be drunken of my sacrifice, which I sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, with all the men of war, saith the Lord. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord your God from that day forward. This represents the suddenness with which complete cleansing will come. It just took a minute before the vultures are there. It just took boom. Those bodies were picked clean. You know, it was a word of suddenness. Suddenly, that word, and suddenly a great thing happened. You know, we live most of our lives in normal 9-to-5, but God likes to do not just healings, but miracles sometimes. He likes to suddenly cleanse an area of sin. He likes to suddenly come down and move us towards peace on east, west, north, and south. And there's an element of suddenness here. So the enemy's wiped out, all the carrion of the earth come and pick the bones clean, and then what we just talked about happened, every one of the bones were picked up. So there's a sense of suddenness, I believe, where things are going to speed up in your life when they've been really slow and stagnated, and it's like a car that just dies on you and you can't move it. You got to get out and push it. Isn't that horrifying? You got a vehicle that was going 2 minutes before, and now you're looking for help in the middle of an intersection, and nobody wants to get out of their car because they've got to get to their thing, you know? And there's just you pushing the car. You know, that's not how it's supposed to be. All the time. You don't go buy cars saying, you know, what's the heaviest car I can push? You know, oh, they run by themselves? Oh, my God. Well, I'm just used to pushing them. Your life can get to the point where you're so used to pushing, you know, a Chevy Malibu uphill, you know, that you forgot what it's like to ride in a car, how it's supposed to be. And sometimes God wants to suddenly invade our constriction, our limits, being locked up in the house where we've been, defensively behind our shields, just waiting for the next arrows to fall. And he wants to advance us forward to a time when, as it was said of David, it came to pass that God gave rest on all four corners. Loved one, we're going to burn some enemies' weapons. Learn from them. But God is even going to bring blessing from the weapons that were formed against you. Whatever unclean little bone there is, just find it and mark it. Jesus will bury it. But I'll tell you what, God moves suddenly. And these are sort of colorful images. I wanted to hear from the Bible, and he was in Ezekiel. Well, you know what? God's so blunt and honest about reality. He doesn't ever, you know, put gold dust and spray any veneer on what's real. Death is real. Sin is real. Corruption is real. But God, the blood of Jesus Christ, reaches to the highest mountain, cleanses to the lowest valley. The blood that gives you strength from day to day will never lose its power. I believe the Son of God is moving us forward. Well, what can you do when you have rest on the east, west, north, and south? Well, think about it. As I close, think about this. You got to have rest in order to sleep, in order to dream, in order to plan, in order to build anything. If you are fighting all the time, you can't lay down. You know, Alexander the Great, interesting guy, he used to go to bed and hold a brass ball in his hand so that when he fell out, it would drop out of his hand into a pan by the side of his bed so that he would always be alert. Now, I'm telling, well, that's sounds like my sleep life the last 15 years, but I don't want to do that. But, you know, he's a young guy. He's intentionally wanting to, you know, he doesn't want anyone sneaking up on him. So he would always be alert. But I'm thinking, you know what? I don't want that brass ball in my hand dropping in the pan by my bed. I want to sleep, you know. And think of it. Solomon, who was called to build the temple of God, had to have peace in the east, west, north, and south so he could rest in order to sleep, in order to dream, in order to plan, in order to build the greatest work of God, the temple of God. And if you're, I believe there's a lot of people listening to me that are called to build something, but you have been so harassed by the enemy that there's never been east, west, north, south, except, you know, there's bomb explosions on the east and Betty bombs on the right. Those bombs used to just fly up halfway, then blow you apart. You know, there's all kinds of hidden traumas and just the normal cares of life. But I think a God that we serve is going to suddenly advance your cause. You know what? Let's be open to it. We're so used to expecting trauma and drama and reversal and setback. Why don't we be willing to believe, you know what? Maybe I am called to build something, but I've been so harassed, I haven't been able to rest in order to sleep, in order to dream. Some of you aren't even at the rest level, let alone the sleep level, let alone the dream level. We're all in different places. But the commonality we share is God knows your heart. He knows your situation. He loves you. And he's planning to bring you rest. Now, how he's going to do it, I don't know. I don't know what he takes away. Sometimes he has us burn things to get that rest. It seems illogical. What God asks you to burn sometimes is like, Your Majesty, I just wanted to check to make sure that you don't. Okay, I'll burn that. Good. And, you know, well, that's not a bone. That's not a human bone. That's a chicken bone. You know, sometimes there's some unclean things, you know, and you just sort of go, nah, that's not that. You know what? And if it's something that needs to be done suddenly, it will be done suddenly. Doesn't take but a day for those beasts to pick those bones clean. Sudden work. Nasty to look at. But you know, I'll just tell you one revealing little story. One of my son's nurses loves surgery. I can't stand the thought of surgery. And she wants to tell me all about. And I was eating a bowl of pudding or something, and she goes, and then the gallbladder was removed. It's about the color of that. I was just, you know, it just makes me shake, and I think that's why she keeps telling me stories, just to mess with me. But you know what? God will give you a heart for things that other people can't look at. He gives you passions for things that other people don't understand. You know, some of you have to follow your bliss. You're called to build, but it doesn't matter what level you're at now. You may be in your house may be collapsed. You may be assaulted east, west, north, and south. But there's a God who sees your heart, and he knows your business. And I don't know what he has to take away or burn or remove. It's all right. He can do it. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just praise him. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your great love to give us encouragement. Just one more step. Do the next right thing. Thank you, Lord, that you're not a God that blows smoke or fairy dust or gold dust into us, but you speak by your Spirit and you say, prepare, prepare, prepare. You're going to be able to breathe a little bit more. Rest a little bit more. All those weapons will be consumed and are going to give you warmth and comfort and security. You're going to find food, comfort, security, and blessing in things that used to terrify you. And that which used to control you, you will control. And that which used to rob you, you will rob. Isaiah chapter 14 says that there's coming a day when you will look upon the enemy and say, is this the worm that made nations to shake? And it says that the captive person will take control over the tormentor. God's about to turn the tide. He's about to flip the tables. As we said last week, he's about to interrupt the established order of how things are supposed to normally go in order to advance you. Father, we pray that you build up a wall of security on the east side of our friends right now. A wall and hedge of thorns against the enemy. Let that wall go up in Jesus' name. On the west side, Lord, a hedge of protection to rise up. North and south, Jesus, Job had a wall of protection that was dropped for a season. I pray that it would rise up around the east, west, north, and south of my dear ones right here. I speak in Jesus' name a prosperity, a peace, a season of rest where you will be sufficiently sufficified And you will just raise your hand. You just have strength to raise your hand and luxuriate in God's presence and say, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you for removing every unclean thing that has defiled me. Thank you, God, for suddenly moving on my behalf to remove every sign of the enemy's work from the land. Remove every pollution. We give you praise in advance. And we do pray, when we do find unclean things, we're just going to mark them and you're going to bury them. Thank you for your blood. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Father, we ask right now by your blood and your sacrifice that you would cleanse our land, our hearts, our lives. You bury everything that needs to be buried. And I pray that we will all have rich fellowship in one another's homes when our homes are fortified, that we will burn the wood of those weapons and laugh, and just like the Father's house, there will be music and dancing and blessing, sounds of life coming from our residences, where people will say, what is this? What do they have? Bless your holy name, Jesus. We give you thanks. Can somebody say amen? Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise.